And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Friday afternoon once again, and time to welcome back into the studio from Envision Financial, Luke Smith. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Well, today we've got a cracker of a topic because this is one that actually confounds people quite a lot. Yeah. When they have to deal with Centrelink.
Yes.
Now, we know that can be a difficult process, but today's question specifically is, what is the Centrelink asset test and how does it work? And, of course, we're talking about in relation to accessing the aged pension.
Yeah, correct. Look, this is a word salad of a segment because there is so much going on. So what we're going to touch on today is simply what is the asset test and just sort of demystify a few assumptions that I hear people come out with. But for some context, when people reach Centrelink age, which is generally 67, they go into Centrelink and say, hey, am I eligible for the age pension? Now, there are two tests that Centrelink use to work out your entitlement to a potential age benefit, and that is the asset test, and then there is a separate income test. Now, the test that gives you the least benefit is the test that they use.
Right.
So let's get that right out of the gates, because people go, well, I've got A, B, and C, so I won't have anything under the income test, so I'll get everything under the income test. No. They go, where do you sit on the asset test? Where do you sit on the income test? And then we hear that wonderful word, deeming. And that simply means we're going to assume that what you've told us here on that asset test generates some income, and then that leaks into the income test. So they are interrelated. But we can start and reconfirm, as most people would know, your family home is exempt.
Yes.
I still have people come in and go, oh, but I'm going to have to sell my house because my house is too expensive. You can have a $5 million house, and somehow, I don't know how, but somehow it's still exempt under the rules.
There are some exceptions to that. If people own a farm, for example.
Correct.
That can be an issue.
Correct,
and
that's right.
It might well be your family home, but it's also a commercial landholding.
Correct. So what they generally do there is there's a test for the duration of ownership, where they start to look at 20, 25 years of ownership, but they also then break it into, here's my 5-acre block, which is my residence, and that part of that broader asset falls under that test, and then you've got your acreage and everything else that goes on. So your land ownership is a slightly different animal. But when we think about the asset test, they then break the asset test up into single or couple, homeowner or not homeowner.
Yes.
Okay, and depending on where you fit in that bracket, that's the sliding scale that they use. For example, a couple can have under $451,500 of asset and get the full age pension. Now, that means you've got money in the bank, term deposits, some shares, some super, cars, caravans, toys. If that falls under $451,500 between you, then you would be entitled to the full age pension, which is over $800 a fortnight each.
Yes.
If you have assets of more than $1,012,500, then you have too much in the way of assets and you get nothing. So that's the top end. Our bottom end is $451,000. From a single perspective, under $301,000 and over $674,000, nothing. Now, if you're in between, you get a prorated amount.
Yes.
And a simple way of thinking about that is, if I was halfway up the scale, I get about half of the age pension. So if it's $800 a fortnight for a full benefit and you're halfway up the asset test, you might get $400 a fortnight and so on. And what they do is they drop the pension by $78 a year for every $1,000 over the minimum test. So again, most advisors will be able to work that out. Centrelink can go and work that out. But just make sure you understand that it's not all or nothing. It can be a prorated amount. And that's a living, breathing thing. Another point that I get from a lot of people is, well, I'm over, I'll never get it. Well, not necessarily. You might go and spend like there's no tomorrow for the next 5 or 6 years of your retirement and fall under that $1,012,000 limit.
Yes.
The other thing to keep in mind is, well, that's getting indexed twice a year as well. So it's going up over time. And if you're spending and living your best life and ripping through your cash. And
eventually you'll fall down below correct. That limit. Yeah.
Right, that's right. Now, you only need to get a dollar of pension to then be entitled to pharmaceutical benefits, the card, and all of the other concessional allowances, which have a market value, I've been told by retirees, of between sort of $4,000 and $6,000.
Yeah.
Because you get a discount on this and a discount on that, and you don't have to pay for a driver's license and all these other fun things. So don't panic that you might be just over. If you want to get under it, then go and have a spend. Because if you were to throw money at your house and do improvements on your home, and your home's an exempt asset, there's a way of bringing down your assessable assets and potentially becoming, you know, eligible for something. You race out and buy a couple of cars. That's not going to help you because the car value gets added to your asset value and you've just moved the problem into another asset. So you need to be strategic about what you're doing. Another thing that I think people need to keep in mind, and this is a little tip here from a strategy perspective, is let's say I'm 68 and my wife is 62. If my wife has accumulated super and she has not started a pension, even though she's eligible to, anything in her super fund is exempt under the asset test in the eyes of Centrelink. And you go, well, why does that matter? If we're working with $1 million limit and I've got 500,000 in my super and my wife has super of her own and she starts a pension, as soon as you start a pension, her super counts because we looked at as a couple. If she doesn't start a pension and it's in accumulation phase, the $500,000 of assets that she has and still has full access to is exempt in the eyes of Centrelink. So if you had one spouse that had a huge super balance and they were the older spouse, I'd be looking to try and use a recontribution strategy to bring down your balance, put it into your wife's name or your husband's name, depending on which side the money's sitting on, and then stop a pension because now the assets are exempt. So again, don't think that everything's on the table. You need to be strategic about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And for those that go, oh, just give all my money to my kids, no. This isn't their first rodeo.
No.
Okay, they know the game.
No,
and there are specific gifting rules where you know, you've got 10,000 a year or 30 over a rolling 5-year period. If you give away any more than that, Centrelink will assume that you have it under the asset test and include it against your assessment, even though you may have given it to your grandkids. You can't just give it away, and that assessment lasts for a 5-year period.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because at the moment, after we've seen house prices going absolutely nuts for the last few years, we're now seeing more and more older people, parents, who are perhaps approaching a retirement age or even in retirement age, providing financial assistance to their offspring to buy a house.
Yep.
And often it's a lot more than $30,000.
Exactly. And again, there's nothing against doing that, and that's totally cool. But you always need to remember, what are the implications of me doing it, one? And two, what's the lens that would apply if I do receive the age pension? And a big misconception I find is, oh, well, I'll just give it to the kids. Well, you can, sure. But Centrelink will still say you have that $200,000 or $300,000 under the asset test, which will limit your ability to get the pension for a period of 5 years. Another big one where people get caught out is you might have a massive house and the kids have moved out and you and your partner are rattling around in the house and you go, we'll downsize. Our house is exempt. Yep, sure is. But you sell your $3 million place in Deakin and you go and buy a $2 million place somewhere else. All of a sudden now we have $1 million of assessable assets.
Yes.
And we might have been getting full age pension in a $3 million house. Now we've got $1 million. And as I just said, $1,012,000 is the max limit. There goes your age pension.
Yes.
So you need to, whilst the downsizing legislation was created to free up capital in your home that doesn't generate an income, the downside of it is that it could blow up your Centrelink entitlements. And if you have significant medical expenses, that pharmaceutical card could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars to you. So again, you need to be strategic around, well, how far do I downsize? And what will be left over? And what are the implications? Because if you can fund yourself with the money that you get from the sale, that's great. But what else are you losing by no longer fitting the criteria for the age pension. So keep that one in mind as well.
Okay. I guess somebody has to ask the question, though. Luke, if you've got more than $1 million in assets, do you really need a government pension?
Well, that's I guess everybody's individual view of what you're entitled to is yours. For me, I think, look, if you've amassed that level of asset, then no, I think, you know, it's there for people that haven't been fortunate enough through a range of circumstances to amass anything over that threshold, and yep. It's there as a protection mechanism for the community, which has its place and I think is great. But there also, I have people come in and I have that comment, well, I've paid my taxes, I deserve it. Well, do you? That really depends. And again, come back to what we said before. You might be eligible for it now. You might lose it by downsizing. You might also then spend a lot of that money on lifestyle and not transfer it into other assets and then become eligible again. So it's not a one-time gig. I find a lot of people go, oh, I can't get it. I'll never get it. Well, no. You just can't get it now. So we need to remember that any asset that you have gets deemed, and I mentioned that earlier in the show. Deeming is simply the assumption of earnings on the assets that you have. So if you had $500,000 in super, there are deeming rates for a couple. You've got 0.25 on the first block of money, and then they deem anything over the first threshold of $100,200 at 2.25%. So that is just the assumed earnings. Now, if you're clever enough to earn more than that, great. They don't penalise you for that. But as I said earlier, that deemed income then leaks over into the income test, which we'll address in another show. So they are interrelated. But they also then turn around and say, well, if you've got a $1 million house, what's the rent that's coming off it? Because we'll include that because that's physical income. Yes. If you're working part-time, they'll include that in the income test. So it's important to understand that it's not one or the other, as I said earlier. It's a combination of the two because they are interrelated in how they come up with their numbers.
So the family home is exempt,
yep.
But any other asset counts towards your asset test. Now, here's a curly question for you. If you're living in your family home but you're helping to make ends meet by renting out a room to somebody who's a housemate, all of a sudden part of your house becomes a rental property, or do you just not tell anybody?
Well, look, that's an ethical conundrum that you need to be able to sleep with. Strictest letter of the law, yes, you should be disclosing that, and that should be included as rental income, and that would then fall under the asset, under the income test.
Right.
And there would probably be an apportionment of the market value of the house that they would then apply under the asset test. I'll be getting some specific advice about that because it is a curly one. Another good example of that is, well, I've got this investment property, but I'm not renting it because I just let my kids live there for free.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's now falling as an asset. Even though you don't generate income, they will still treat that as an asset under the asset test. So whatever you think you can be sneaky with, there's a very good chance somebody's already driven down that road.
Yes.
You know, it might be your first radio, but it's not theirs. So again, be very clear and concise around how you report. And the other thing is they will ask regularly for an update of assets. Be timely with that information because they can be punishingly difficult to deal with because you generally update your assets. They ask twice a year and you update the value of super funds and other things. If you don't give it to them in a timely manner, they will turn your age pension off and then they will make you reapply like you've never had it, even though you've been updating them with your asset position every 6 months for the last 15 years. That information seems to just float off into the clouds and they can never find that. So be diligent with your paperwork to avoid any additional frustration because the process of applying for it, I think it's designed to see if it will break you. And if it doesn't break you, then they'll give you something because it is an onerous process and you need to understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio this afternoon. Today we're talking about what is the Centrelink asset test and how does it work? Back with more in just a moment. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. Today's topic, what is the Centrelink asset test and how does it work? So we've gone through this in quite a bit of detail so far. Luke, what are the key points for people to remember?
Yeah, so first thing out of the gates, as I mentioned before the ad break, it's a marathon, not a sprint. The paperwork is onerous, it's tedious, it's punishing, And I think it's a test just to see your mental stamina, to see if you can get it. And I say that tongue in cheek, but it's actually true. consider where your assets are held. You know, as I mentioned, if you are part of a couple and one of you is underage pension age and you have a lot of superannuation that is not in pension phase, that is exempt under the asset test. So that could be a great strategy to maximize the entitlements of the older person for the time that it takes for the younger spouse to reach age 67. So think about where you're holding your assets. Think about the income that it generates, because they will deem financial assets and assume that they earn some money, and the deeming rates are very generous. And there's a sliding scale on the first block up to about 100,000, and then they deem it at 2.25% over. So if you can earn 4 or 5% of distributable income from your superannuation fund, great, all the power to you, because a lesser amount is being included in the income test. Keep in mind that it is asset test and income test. The test that gives you the least is the test that they use. And I see often defined benefit members come in and say, well, I've got an exempt house and no other assets, so I'm great under the assets test, but I've got $100,000 of defined benefit pension. Is that a problem? And we'll touch on the income test in a coming show, but if you earn more than about $96,000 as a couple, it cuts out on that side. So whilst you might be good on one, you're not on the other. Your home is exempt. And remember that downsizer contributions, whilst the new home that you buy would be exempt, the capital that you realise from the sale would then add to your assessable assets and can reduce your pension entitlements if you do have a large family home value and receiving the full age pension. Think about the implications of the downsizer legislation. Whilst they're great to free up capital, they're not great from a Centrelink perspective. So if you are getting Centrelink on a full or part entitlement and you do want to downsize, run the numbers, because it might be that you buy a similar sized house in a different area that's smaller, that costs more to keep your age pension over selling a big house in a particular suburb to go to a smaller place and realise capital that could then fall under the asset test. So you need to be strategic there, because a lot of people get caught with that. And then just remember that whilst you may not be eligible right now, it's not a forever thing. If you're not eligible at the moment, keep reviewing the thresholds, because if you're living your best life and ripping through money, that's great, that's your choice. But the tests index twice a year, so the capital thresholds are going up, and you then need to think about holding things in the right structure to get as much as you can to fund the lifestyle that you want to have.
Well, today we've been talking about the Centrelink assets test. We will address the income test on another occasion, so keep an eye out for that one. But in the meantime, Luke, where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so if you're not sure, office number 6260 4749, envisionfinancial.com.au. We've got all the previous shows on the podcast on the website. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra. You can subscribe to that channel on YouTube. We've got all of the shows. You can watch it on your iPhone or your tablet. We've got YouTube Shorts. We've got the Strategy Stacker handle on the Tiki Tocker. And these types of strategic considerations are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning. Book that came out 12 months old now, which is exciting, in all good bookstores, Amazon and Booktopia.
Fantastic, Luke. Thanks very much. We'll catch you next Friday.
See you next week.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial back with us again at the same time next Friday right here on 2CC.